Hello and welcome to the series of lectures where we will discuss service marketing. So what is service marketing? Now when it comes to marketing, service marketing in many ways is very, very different to marketing a product. The major difference is that a product is tangible and you get to see a product, feel and touch a product. But when it comes to a service, you don't get to feel, experience, or touch a service the moment you pay for the service. That is the main differentiator, and everything else in terms of the different service marketing models, what are services, we will discuss in the series here. So we'll start with the first chapter, which is Introduction to Service Marketing. So let's first of all understand services. Now, what is a service? A service could best be described as a transaction between a buyer and a seller. Seller here is ideally the service provider, the person or the company or the firm that provides services to the buyer or the customer. So a service is a transaction which a party provides to another party. The seller or the service provider provides to the buyer or the consumer. For example, an insurance company is the service provider. The customer who buys the insurance is the buyer or the user. A telecom company is the service provider or the seller, and the person or the individual using the telecom connection network is the buyer and the user here. So it's a transaction between a buyer and a seller. It's similar to a product where a seller would sell a product, but there the product is tangible. The user can test the product, can see, feel the product before he or she decides to buy a product. So if you have to buy a new smartphone, for example, you can walk into a store and you can check the sample piece of the phone. You could use it, you could click a few pictures, you could browse the internet, you could check the different functions. You can go through the settings of the phone and check for the specifications. That's not true for services. You cannot test the service. What you ideally get is the promises made by the service provider when you as a customer go to seek information. For example, telecom company would tell you that they have a wide network. You could travel across the length and breadth of the country and you would not face any network issues. But do you get to test that when you decide to switch to a new network, a new telecom operator? No, you don't. That happens over the period that you start using their service. And that's the main differentiator. When you're selling a service, the customer does not get to test the features and the benefits. What he or she gets are the promises and the commitments made by the seller. That is what differentiates services from products, and that's what changes the entire model, process, and the game of service marketing. So a critical aspect of service is that there should be a seller, as we said, the service provider or the provider, and there should be a buyer. This is similar to a product or the service. But the differentiator, as I said, is the intangible feature and aspects of services. So services, as we said, has two components. First, they are intangible. Fundamentally, services are intangible. What is intangible or what is tangible? Tangible is something that you could touch, you could feel, you could see, like a car, a smartphone, or even food. You could touch, feel, and smell it. But services, you cannot. They are intangible. They don't exist physically. There is no physical form of a service. That's what makes them intangible. But in order to sell or market services, you need to add some tangible characteristics to your services. So how do you do that? How do you make something that is not physical tangible? That's where you introduce measurable parameters, performance parameters. That makes it tangible. For example, an insurance company could say that they are able to settle 99.5% claims within the first 7 working days. Now that adds a tangible parameter to their insurance policies. Again, the customer cannot test that, but now the customer has a number, a quantifiable number to judge the services of the insurance company. For example, if insurance company A says that they settle 99.5% claims within the 7 working days, and insurance company B says that they settle 98% claims within 15 working days. So now as a customer, even though you haven't used their services, you haven't bought their services, and you cannot really physically check how good they are, but you have two claims made. One says 99.5% claim settlement within 7 days. The other says 98% claim settlement within 15 days. So now you are able to judge them with a quantifiable parameter. Now that becomes a tangible aspect of the service that you provide. And this is true for all kinds of services. For example, if you are providing content marketing services, you can quantify the kind of content and the number of content pieces that you will create. For example, 3 blog posts every week or 5 designs every month. So you're trying to quantify the intangible services and give them a tangible parameter which the buyer can use, one, to understand what he or she is getting as a return of the investment that they make for the services. And again, they're able to compare 2, 3 or more service providers. So the tangible and the intangible factor is allocated weightage. So what would you rate as more important, tangible or intangible? Do you rate your calls to a customer care center being picked up in 2 minutes as more important? Or do you rate a courteous customer service as more important? Now, your call being picked up within 2 minutes is something that you can quantify, judge. Courteous customer service is something which you cannot really judge. It's very subjective. What's courteous for me may not be courteous for you. That's intangible. You cannot really measure that. That's a perspective. And we will discuss those as we move along in the service marketing chapter. Now, talking about the service industry landscape in India. Now, what are the most important services in the Indian economy? Obviously, health comes number one, India and otherwise globally as well. Education is again ranked amongst the top service industries in India and globally as well. And then you have IT and IT enabled services. Now, India has been doing really well globally in IT and IT enabled services. And IT is the largest and the most challenging sector and key to the country's overall progress because of the kind of business that we do globally, the kind of revenue that comes into India, and the competence that we have as a country to provide IT and IT enabled services to global MNCs and companies. So health, education, and IT remain the top 3 service sectors for the Indian economy. Now, what are the factors that determine the growth of the service sector? This could be any sector. This could be health, education, IT, finance, any, or even marketing, marketing as a service, or sales as a service. So what are the factors that would determine the growth of the service sector? First, we have the political factor, the economic factor, there is social factor, the technology factor, the legal factor, and the environmental factor. So we will discuss each of these in detail. Let's first move on to the political factor. Now, this is the local or the state or the central government policies and regulations. For example, GST is a good example. Now, when the government introduced GST, there were different slabs to it. Now, in the pre-GST era, there was service tax that was 15% of the overall service value. So if I am a professional consultant and I provide consulting services to a client, I would have been charging 15% as service tax. Now that becomes 18% for the services sector when GST was launched. So that increases the price the buyer has to pay. So GST was one example. So similarly, there could be other rules, regulations that the central, the state, or local governments may introduce, which would affect the pricing, the capability, and the cost of providing services to a customer for the service provider or the seller. Because politics plays an important role in the growth of the economy. What rules, regulations the government would introduce to help the industry, not just service industry, but any other, for example, manufacturing industry, for example, or the IT industry specifically. So different rules make it either easier to do business, set up businesses, or it could make it difficult to do businesses or set up businesses. So political factor becomes very important, and this doesn't have to really be only locally. Even if you are into providing services to international clients, what happens politically across the globe would play a major difference, because it could dent confidence of the buyers. For example, right now, as we discuss this lecture, there is a war going on in Ukraine. So any company in Ukraine providing services to clients globally would be losing out on business, because clients would not be confident right now signing up new service providers from a war-torn country. They don't know the stability of the service provider operating out of Ukraine. So even existing buyers would want to switch to competitors and service providers from outside of Ukraine. So you could lose existing business, and there would be no new business till the country stabilizes. And stability is an important factor, which we would discuss as we discuss components of services. But right now, the political factor is the most important factor, because rules, regulations, policies would determine the cost of providing services and the ease of providing services. Let's move on to the economic factor. Now, this factor examines the outside economic issues that can play a role in a company's success. Issues such as economic growth, exchange, inflation, and interest rates. Now, the current business cycle of the country where the company is in and the unemployment policies. A recent example could be Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is going through one of the worst economic crises. So now, if as a buyer, if you are outside of Sri Lanka and you have a service provider in Sri Lanka, you would question the stability of your service provider. You don't know how long can they sustain to be in business. How long would they be able to hold on to their employees, because the country is struggling for the most basic facilities, fuel, food. And there are protests going on. The government is not stable. The president had to flee the country. So the economy is in a bad state. So in that bad state, how long can your service provider sustain his or her business? So as a buyer, you would be doubtful of continuing and renewing your relationship with any service provider in Sri Lanka. So for example, if you were using a company providing marketing analytics to you as a buyer from Sri Lanka, you would want to now evaluate options outside of Sri Lanka. And you would obviously do not consider any new service provider given the current state. So economic factor, like political factor, plays a big role. Similarly comes exchange rates. Now, how your country, your currency, your local currency performs against global currencies would be a deciding factor for global buyers to buy from you. For example, if the rupee strengthens against the United States dollar, if the price of rupee per dollar decreases, the international buyers have to pay less. And hence, they could choose to work with companies in India, because that makes it more lucrative for them. So economic factor, as I said, like political factor, is one of the other prominent factors that affect and influence the growth or degrowth of the service sector. Then comes the social factor. The social factor analyzes the demographic and cultural aspect. It helps to determine whether a business can compete in the current market. A good example would be the IT-enabled services. Now, why India had been able to capture a big market share in the outsourcing market? That was because of the availability of English-speaking graduates in India, available at a cheaper cost. So companies in US, UK, Europe, Australia were able to move the technical support, customer support, or telemarketing teams and business to India because of the availability of cheap English-speaking graduates and manpower. Similarly, Philippines has been able to compete in India in the outsourcing sector for customer service, for technical support, for call center operations, because again, they have a cheap market, cheap labor that can again speak better English, and their accents are more neutral. So Philippines has been a big competitor for India in the IT-enabled services space when it comes to customer care, customer service, or basic level technical support. So social factors, demography, cultural aspects, again, influence the growth of any industry in the overall service sector, because these factors help businesses examine consumer needs and what pushes them to make purchases. This factor scope includes a country's demographics, the population growth rates, age distribution, attitudes towards work, lifestyle changes, the labor laws, education, and environmental and health consciousness. All these factors influence the availability and the skill of the labor force for the service sector. Hence, political, economic, social. Again, these are three factors. Let's now move on to the technology factor. In today's age, as companies and work has moved more remote, this becomes again the most important factor to ensure sustainability and continuity of business operations. Technology factor refers to how technology can be leveraged by organizations to bring its product or service to the marketplace. For example, let's talk about Byju's as a company. Now, Byju's came into prominence in the last 3 years as one of the go-to education apps for school-going children. Now, this could happen because two reasons. One, because of the current COVID situation, physical schools were closed and students were back home spending their entire day at home. So the only option for them was to study online using laptops, tablets, or smartphones. So this was a conducive environment for Byju's to market and acquire new customers. And most importantly, as we're talking about technology, India had the internet bandwidth both in metros, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities, and even villages. And the smartphone penetration in every household. Now, without the smartphone and laptop penetration in the average Indian household, and the access to high-speed internet, Byju's as an education app could not have succeeded. So when it comes to Byju's as an education service provider, both the situation where physical schools were closed and students were available to go for online education, and the availability of the right technology, which is the hardware in terms of a laptop or a tablet or a smartphone, and the availability of high-speed internet, it could be 4G or it could be the cable internet connections which we have in homes. Without these two technologies, Byju's, even though their product might have been great, or Byju's or White Hat Junior or Unacademy, they could not have succeeded because the technology factor would not have been there to support their service business. So had these businesses launched maybe a decade earlier, they would have struggled to achieve the kind of growth that they have now achieved. So technology, as I said, in today's age, when most businesses are tech in nature, if you could watch startups, it's all about tech, right? Health tech, fintech, edtech. So every traditional service industry, be it education, be it healthcare, be it finance, they are all moving towards becoming technical organizations. So this could not be sustainable. They could not grow. They could not acquire customers if the right technology is not prevalent and accessible to their target users. Now, after the political, economic, social, and technology factors, let's talk about the legal factor. How local, regional, or even industry laws and regulations could impact service providers. So for example, labor laws. The government decides working hours for employees, for example. So now, in case if as a company, you were allowed to make your employees work, for example, 15 hours a day, and you had your employees who were willing to work 15 hours a day, your cost of providing services would reduce because your salary would not increase as proportionately to the number of hours an employee would work, for example. But since the government, to ensure that the laborers or the people or the employees are looked after and companies do not really abuse employees and take care of their welfare, governments make regulations about the number of working hours or the working environment. Hence, those add to the cost of providing services. You would need more people or more skilled people. Your infra cost would increase because, for example, you would have to provide for health insurance for every employee. So all these regulations, they're not directly related to what you do as a company, be it service or product, but since all those would factor into the cost and also into the availability of talent. For example, certain states, state governments in India would pass on laws where you have to hire a certain percentage of local state residents as employees. Now that changes the availability and the mix of talent that you would want to hire. So all these, for example, international labor laws. Today, as companies move toward work from home, if you are into a service company, you could have people working from home from you from across the globe. But each country has different labor and employment laws. So as a service provider, you'll have to adhere to those local laws. And every law, every compliance affects your ease of doing business and your cost of doing business. And as the cost increases, you will have to pass on that cost to your customer, or you will have to take a hit on your profit margins. So both impact your confidence as a service provider, and you would need to relook at how you source talent or how you adhere to local laws or how you work around those local laws. For example, a lot of companies want to move, a lot of startups, for example, want to move out of India and they set up base, for example, in Singapore or the Middle East, both because of the legal regulations and the economic regulations. So again, legal factor becomes the fifth factor that influences and determines the growth of a service company or the overall service sector. And then we have the environmental factor. These factors pertain to the natural environment and impact, for example, for industries like farming and agriculture, but also for the services sector. The environment consists of a set of external factors that have the potential to influence the organizations. So examples could be increasing concerns in packaging and pollution, for example. And each country, each state, each city would have its local environmental influences that determines the impact on both the product, manufacturing, or the service industry as a whole. So these six factors, political, economic, social, legal, environmental factors, would determine or influence the growth of the company as a service company or the overall service sector as a whole. Let's move on to the characteristics of services. We discussed at the start of the lecture that services predominantly are intangible. To make them look tangible, you have to add some tangible parameters in terms of how you can quantify performance or measure benefits that you pass on to the customer. So service is intangible. Service is heterogeneous. Heterogeneous is that the service that you provide to two different customers could not be identical all the time. If you are a product manufacturer, for example, if you manufacture smartphones, as an example, again, all the smartphones that come to the market would be identical. Same physical attributes, the width of the screen, the camera functionality would be homogeneous. That's not true with services, because it also depends upon the perspective of the customer. So we will talk about these in detail. The third, service is perishable. The shelf life is perishable. It's momentary. It's at the moment. Service is simultaneously produced and consumed. It's a transaction that happens in real time. So let's discuss about intangible, as we discussed when we started the lecture, that it is not something that you can physically feel, touch, or have a look at. So services lack these physical attributes which a physical product would have, be it a car, be it a phone, or be it a pen or a pencil. So services are performance or actions. They are something which a customer could only feel when he has already made a purchase. So you cannot feel a service, but you are able to experience a service. For example, a visit to the doctor. You experience how good a doctor is based on the quality of consultation and the after effects of the consultation. So is the doctor able to cure you of your illness? So that happens after you've already paid for the service. So unlike a product which you can touch and feel real time, a service cannot be touched. So it all depends upon an experience and perspective. Service, as we said, is heterogeneous. No two services would be the same, unlike a product. A simple example is that most of the services cannot be standardized, and hence a service experienced at one place or from one person cannot be the same if the same service is taken from another doctor. For example, if you walk into a service center for your smartphone, if a smartphone stops functioning and you walk into a service center and you have four technical service reps, each of the reps would give you a different service experience. You cannot standardize that. You can have SOPs, you can give them scripts, you can give them FAQs, but you cannot standardize people to the level anywhere close to which you can standardize products. Hence, services, unlike products, are heterogeneous. Then, service is perishable. Services cannot be stored. There is no inventory of services. You maintain inventories of products. You cannot maintain inventories of service. They cannot be stored, returned, or saved in a locker or another place. Hence, they are perishable. If a service is offered and is not consumed, it cannot be claimed. For example, if you are an airline operator and if you have a capacity of 120 seats in the aircraft and only 30 seats are booked on a particular flight, you cannot store the another 90 seats and move them to the next flight. They are just gone. The capacity for 90 seats was vacant and would remain vacant. They are lost to the provider. That's not true with a product. If a manufacturer, for example, makes 20 tables, for example, a table manufacturer, if he makes 20 tables this week, because the forecast was, say, that he could sell anything between 15 to 18, but for example, for some reason, he or she was only able to sell 5 tables, the remaining 15 could then become the inventory for the coming week, and then those could be sold. So products could be stored, and you could use them as an inventory to sell in the future. That's not true for services. So service is perishable. Service is intangible. Service is heterogeneous. Service is perishable. And service is simultaneously produced and consumed. That means that a service is consumed at the same time as it is produced. The moment, for example, if you are calling or if you visit a doctor, for example, now you are consuming the service. The doctor is providing the service. The consumption and the production are happening simultaneously. But in a product, that's not always true, right? The product would have been manufactured a day before, a week before, or even a year before that the customer buys it. So it does not happen at the same time. In terms of food, it may happen. If you go to a pani puri provider and the pani puri is a product, it's being made in some sense at the same time and consumed. However, the raw materials were again made a few hours earlier. So that's for products. Products are produced at some time and consumed at a later time. But services are produced and consumed simultaneously. So services hence need to be marketed like products. As we said, all these factors, especially that services are intangible. To be able to market and sell, you need to add some product attributes to it. Particularly, you need to look your services tangible. So you need to add some tangible parameters. So the reason for marketing of services is twofold. First, being consumption of a service would increase when people are aware of the services being available. So to reach out to more and more prospective customers, whether you sell locally within a few kilometers or you sell nationally or you sell globally, you need to market your services and educate your customers that your services are available to be bought and consumed. And then it's important to market services and create awareness due to the increased number of competitors. So for every service category, because now technology is not only available to consumers, but technology to launch and start a service business is also available at a much, much lower cost to even the startup founders or new business enthusiasts. So you could have more competition. People can launch businesses much more easily compared to what it would have been a decade ago. So the competition is huge. We mentioned Byju's, for example. Now, Byju's, when it started, there was not much competition, but the quick growth and success of Byju's motivated other education businesses, startups, to launch similar businesses. And now if you look 2-3 years after when Byju's launched, there's a lot of competition, not only in school education, but even in executive education or competitive education. So businesses also have to compete with an increased number of competitors, and that makes marketing very, very critical even for the service businesses. So this is what we will discuss in the forthcoming lectures, is what are the different marketing models, different perspectives that you need to look upon, and how to reach out to your prospective service buyers. Thank you.